Now we're going to look at one of the most important terms in the Old Testament. It is a word called chesed. It is sometimes spelled C-H-E-S-E-D. Sometimes it is spelled H-E-S-E-D. And other times it is spelled C-H-E-C-E-D. The New Strong's Expanded Dictionary of Bible Words and Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary tell us that this term is one of the most important in the vocabulary of Old Testament theology and ethics. It's often translated as kindness or mercy, loving kindness, goodness, steadfast love, faithfulness, goodness, grace, devotion, or favor. The NIV loses a lot in the translation because it often just translates it as love. According to Strong's, chesed is used 240 times in the Old Testament and is especially frequent in the Psalter, which is the Psalms. In general, one may identify three basic meanings of the word, which always interact: strength, steadfastness, and love. Any understanding of the word that fails to suggest all three inevitably loses some of its richness. Love, by itself, easily becomes sentimentalized or universalized apart from covenant. Yet strength or steadfastness suggests only the fulfillment of a legal or other obligation. The word chesed refers primarily to mutual and reciprocal rights and obligations between the parties of a relationship, especially Yahweh and Israel. Yahweh being one of the names of God. But chesed is not only a matter of obligation, it is also of generosity. It is not only a matter of loyalty, but also of mercy. The weaker party seeks the protection and blessing of the patron and protector, but he may not lay absolute claim to it. The stronger party remains committed to his party, but retains his freedom, especially with regard to the manner in which he will implement those promises. Chesed implies personal involvement and commitment in a relationship beyond the rule of law. Marital law is often related to chesed. Marriage certainly is a legal matter, and there are legal sanctions for infractions. Yet the relationship, if sound, far transcends mere legalities. Devotion is sometimes the single English word best capable of capturing the nuance of the original. The association of chesed with covenant keeps it from being misunderstood as mere providence or love for all creatures. It applies primarily to God's particular love for his chosen and covenanted people. Covenant also stresses reciprocity of the relationship. But since God's chesed is ultimately beyond the covenant, it will not ultimately be abandoned, even when the human partner is unfaithful and must be disciplined. Isaiah 54 verse 8 and 10. Interestingly enough, chesed is not used in the Bible until after God cut covenant with Abraham. In summary, chesed is not a love that includes all people. It is a love that exists only in the context of a covenant relationship. It is an eternal and committed devotion that encompasses all the different facets of expression of that love. Here are some verses that contain the word chesed. Psalm 136, verse 1. Actually, this whole psalm has chesed in it over and over and over again. But verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his chesed endureth forever." Jeremiah 31, verse 3 says, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with chesed I have drawn you. Psalm 23 verse 6 says, surely goodness and chesed shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hosea 6 verse 6 says, for I desire chesed and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Micah 6 verse 8 says, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love chesed, and to walk humbly with your God. These are good scriptures to sit and meditate on, and as you do, to see how best to actually translate the word chesed into English in each of those scriptures. These first two lessons have served to establish a foundation. They've given us an understanding of the general subject of covenant. Now, next week we will start to examine specific individual biblical covenants. But before we do, we need to address the modern understanding of covenant. To the Bible student, the word covenant is a positive word because of God's chesed. But in the world of the cults and the occult, covenant is a word that often stirs up a deep fear. It is because the penalty for breaking a covenant is death. This is because once those two bloods have mixed, they cannot be separated. The life is in the blood. So if you separate yourself from your blood covenant partner by breaking the covenant, you separate yourself from your own life. This is why the penalty for adultery was death, because it was the breaking of a marriage covenant. However, the message of covenant in the Bible is that even when God's covenant partners were unfaithful and deserved to die, God simply postponed the death penalty. God allowed them to live instead of die. And that death penalty was postponed until the day when Jesus, who was the faithful friend, the friend of sinners, took the place of the unfaithful ones and died their death penalty in their place on a wooden cross. But the great news is that Jesus rose from the dead. So our death penalty has absolutely no power over us at all. Jesus' resurrection destroyed it. If you're not in covenant with God, then I invite you and I challenge you to enter into this relationship with Him. You can do it simply by believing in Him and giving your life to Him. Just as Noah and his family entered into the ark and were saved from the flood, so you can enter into Jesus Christ by believing in Him. The whole message of the Bible is that God wants to have a personal relationship with you. All relationships start with communication. And so you can simply pray a prayer like this. Lord God, I believe in you. I know that Jesus is Lord. I know that he died for me and that he rose from the dead. So right now, I give my entire life. I give all that I am to you. I will be your covenant friend, and I thank you for being my covenant friend. I thank you that I'm now brand new, that everything starts from here on out. In Jesus' name, amen. See, there's no blood that is more powerful than the blood of Jesus. So if you've entered into any type of ungodly agreement or covenant, once you're in blood covenant with God, then those other blood covenants cannot bind you. Through occult involvement, many people have entered into relationships with false gods, and they've opened themselves up to demonic influences. People are often drawn into the occult by simple curiosity, or by the tragic loss of a loved one. Sometimes the occult is packaged as a child's toy, like the Ouija board. Don't be deceived. What looks like a simple toy is a trap that gives demons legal rights to harass and enslave you. If you're in that situation, my challenge to you is to break off those chains from your back. Know that Jesus came to set the captives free. Make a list of everything in the occult or cults or other false religions that you've been involved in. Renounce each thing, repenting. Now, repentance means to change your mind, to change your thinking about them, and confess them as sin, and do it all in the name of Jesus. For example, you might say something like this: Lord God, I confess that I consulted a psychic. I know it was sin, and I will never do it again. I renounce it in the name of Jesus. And you know what? Once you're done with your list, burn it. It's done. It's over. The blood of Jesus has already paid for it all. 1 John 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank you so much. See you next time. Goodbye.